We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. We got a full show today. I don't even know where to start. We'll start with the weather. 56 degrees. Humidity's 27. The winds are out of the south-southwest. Basically not even hardly blowing. 9 miles an hour. Gusting up to hurricane strength. 12 miles an hour. Looks like it's a beautiful day outside. Well, I've already had one of my Jimmy adventures today. Went over and checked the heifers at about 3:30. Pulled in there. I rolled out a bale of hay last night. I'm doing the feeding the hay in the evening deal, you know, so they'll calve during the day. So far, I'm batting not good. Out of 9 heifers, 7 of them born at night. So that thing ain't working out that good yet. But who knows? Just me. And the heifers are heifers. Them tests they did was probably on regular cows and stuff, but anyway, pulled in there, all the heifers were laying down because I sort the pairs out and put them in the cow-calf pasture every day. They're all laying down, did my count, everything's good. And most people who know me know that I'm severely hard hearing, deaf in one ear and only got like 40% hearing in the other. And I turned my diesel truck around, I still had the window down from running the spotlight, checking all the cows out, and I heard a calf bawl. I stopped. Shine the light over there about 80 yards from the cow. There's a baby laying out there in the bare ground with no mama, and he hadn't been cleaned up yet. So I went over and checked on him, and sure enough, his nostrils were clear and everything, but he was wanting some milk. So I eased back over to the cows, the heifers, to find out which one is the mama. And of course, she was the furthest one away from him, and she had no intentions of going over there. So I went back, got the calf, put him in the front seat. I had to come in and do my two-minute ag early morning ag update here. So I put him in the seat, rode to the radio station, fed him. I carry hot water with me, warm water, fed him his bottle in the front seat of my truck in the parking lot of KECO Radio. Then I did my early morning ag update. And then I took him back out there and put him in a pen where some straw, the little pen, and somehow or another, I got the mom sorted out, all 26 of those heifers that are left, got her to the big lot, sack of cake, got her into the little lot, put him in there. She didn't want nothing to do with him, so I put some cake down, and he's an aggressive little feller. He stole him some milk a couple of different times while I was, while she was eating on cake. So anyway, hopefully, I hope I don't have to change her attitude. But anyway, she just didn't want nothing to do with him. She'd smell of him, and she wouldn't kick him too hard trying to eat, but knocked him down a few times. I was getting kind of mad, but anyway, he stole him some. He's good to go. I'll take care of her after the show today. So that was my Jimmy adventure of the night. I'm glad I went over there early and checked. Luckily, it wasn't cold. It was 36 degrees out there, so at the time I found him. And we got all kinds of things going on. Lacey texted me yesterday afternoon. She must be moving up in the world of broadcasting over there because she's been to a lot of meetings the last few months. She had a meeting today at noon, and she apologized. She'll be back next week. Well, I just had a person text in, and they said that, let me read this text here before I do my report. Here we go. That because of personal reasons, they have 13 coming purebred commercial crossbred Angus cows. I'm glad they didn't call in because I've had to give them a hard time, and they need to sell them. So whatever a coming purebred commercial crossbred Angus cow is, if you're interested in about 13 of them, give this guy a call. I guess it's a guy. 580-799-1137. 799-1137. He needs to get rid of these cows. if you're wanting some purebred commercials. Anyway, he didn't give his name or nothing. Today is a ticket day. I'm going to give two tickets away for the PBR Rodeo coming up this Friday and Saturday. The big old famous PBR Express Ranches Invitational be at the Paycom Center this Friday and Saturday night. And I have two tickets, I think. Hang on here. They're for Friday. Yeah, they're for Friday. Let me check it out. Yes, Friday, 7:45. Unleash the Beast, Express Ranches Rodeo. So here in a minute, I'm going to, here after first commercial break, I'm going to ask a question, and you guys can text in your answer. So get your Google ready, get all that ready, and that's what we're going to do. Grains are all over the place. Hard red winter wheat, 7.55. Corn, 6.33. Milo, 6.31. Soybeans is 15.05. And that was as of this morning. And we got, they're just all over the place. So soybean and grain futures plunged in overnight session on some technical selling. The most active soybean contract hit the highest level in 8 months yesterday, leading some investors who were long the market, or as I say, bet on higher prices, to sell contracts and book profits. Some rain fell in parts of Brazil and Argentina over the weekend into Monday, which helped with their soil moisture. I wish we could get some of that. Anyway, in Brazil, precipitation helped in central and southern growing areas, and more rain is forecast for some of their states, according to Donald Keeney, agriculture meteorologist from Maxar. Now that the rains have passed, however, soil moisture is expected to decline. In Argentina, showers in the past few days have improved moisture levels, but dry weather will persist in most of that country. Wheat futures dropped overnight on favorable conditions in parts of Australia, the world's second biggest exporter of grain. The new year has been mostly kind to Australia agriculture overall. Prices are mostly strong and seasonal conditions are wetter than average. Australia is seeing a La Nina weather event that's nearing its peak. The weather pattern has brought monsoons to the states of Victoria, South Australia, and New South Wales, while leaving Western Australia drier than normal. Investors are also keeping an eye on negotiations between world leaders and Russia in a bid to stop Moscow from invading Ukraine. I heard something this morning that I think it was on the early morning show here. Maybe Ukraine should just go invade Moscow and get them off their border. But anyway, the French president was there to hold talks with the Russian president yesterday. Russia now reportedly has more than 100,000 troops amassed along its border in Ukraine. Soybean futures for March delivery dropped 12 cents to $15.69 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up 70 cents to $453.50 a short term. And soybean oil futures fell 1.54 cents to 63.8 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery lost 4.25 to $6.31 a bushel. Wheat for March delivery plunged 13 and a quarter cents to $77.55 a bushel. And that was in Chicago, while Kansas City futures dropped 12 and a half cents to $7.79 a bushel. Well, that's all I'm going to do on that. And we got, like I said, I'm going to ask a question in the next segment about the PBR. And we got, what else do I got? We have some important information that I talked with Mr. Reese Langley, who is the vice president of the Washington operations for the National Cotton Council. And we talked about Texas lawmakers sent a bipartisan letter to Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, urging the department to provide Texas agriculture producers with a timeline and a plan for the distribution of critical disaster assistance. Mr. Langley told me that he's got some details to talk about, and I recorded them for you. And also, he's got some reminders of a couple important upcoming deadlines for cotton producers, and some of those deadlines are for wheat producers too. So listen in here to what I talked with him about this morning.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, February 7th. 567 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 467, brought 210. 14 at 565, brought 180. 7 at 738, brought 160. 4 at 789, brought 158. 28 at 805, brought 156.75. 15 head of heifers at 380, brought 185. 9 at 482, brought 176.50. 13 at 612, brought 143. 26 at 759, brought 153. 32 at 850, brought 143. Butcher cows were 57 to 92. Bred cows brought 700 to 885. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 5th at the Clinton Livestock Auction at 1230 p.m. They're feed efficiency tested on GrowSafe system. More than 50% of the bulls are suitable for heifers. There's data for DNA, data for birth, weaning, and yearlings, and there's ultrasound data. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 5th at 1230 at the Clinton Livestock Auction. Get information online at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
All right. Had a little problem with my Reese Langley deal, but one of the main things we talked about is March, coming up in March, is our ARC PLC deadline. Sign up for at your local FSA office. So you need to get that done if you haven't already. So don't blow their phone up. But you got between now and I think March 1st or March 15th, you just need to do it this month. Of getting your deciding whether you're going to sign up under ARC or PLC on your crops. So on cotton, wheat, the whole nine yards. So get that deed. All right. Here's the question for the PBR tickets. And I'm going to take, let's pick a number. I'm going to take number 7. I'm going to take the 7th text in. And when you text the answer in, text your name in with it. If you don't text your name in with it, you're a loser, no matter what, even if you got the right answer. What is the gestation table, timetable for a bull? Oh, no, not a bull. Sorry. I'm just kidding. What is the gestation table for a horse? Text it in. I'm going to take the 7th text in, and you're going to win these tickets to the PBR, and there's some good tickets. So anyway, that's your lineup for that. Well, today is Tuesday Hay Days, and I'm going to go over that with you real quick, because coming up, the next segment, I got Court Richards with the Lone Star Bucking Bull Genetics going to be on with me for the show. They got the PBR coming up, but I want to talk to him about his bucking bull genetics and how he got started and stuff. And he obviously got some bulls that are in the PBR this weekend, but don't go anywhere. You want to listen to Court. He's a pretty good guy. So anyway, here's some of the hay prices from last week. Kansas on premium alfalfa, $195 to $400. 400 was delivered on good, 140 to 220. In Missouri, 160 to 250 on premium, 120 to 160 on good. Oklahoma, Looks like Oklahoma's creeped up about $5 compared to last week. 185 to 215 on premium, 150 to 170 on good. Texas, 250 to 325, both of those being delivered. And then on good, 210 to 260, both of those delivered, and that's in Texas. On our grass, we got in Kansas, premium 110 to 130, 65 to 170 on good, and I guess I'm guessing that 175 is surely delivered. Missouri, 140 a ton on premium grass, 80 to 100 on good. And in Oklahoma, 90 to 145, 75 to 100 on good. Down here in Texas, anywhere for on premium, 180 to 330 and 120 to 265 on good. And that's in Texas. So anyway, there is some of your updates. And then one more thing on hay before we go to a break and I get Court on here. Brock Kaiser, he's a hay producer in Greensville, Indiana, where he farms about 450 acres of hay and row crops. Annually, he produces and brokers 50,000 small square bales, 650 big straw bales, and 300 round bales, and custom harvests around another 600 round bales. He sells the small squares in bale-bearing bundles of 21 as it's allowed for easier storage and loading. Kessler shares tips and tricks to being successful at buying and selling hay during a recent webinar with the Purdue University Extension. This guy's pretty sharp. I watched that webinar. He's pretty slick. When seeking to establish long-term customers, he believes it's important to work on building a relationship with them. I want my customers to know that I'm more than just their hay guy. I try to ask them about things like their family and hobbies and try to build a relationship over time. The hay maker believes in being fair and setting specific terms, but he also likes to be flexible. He sets a base that customers need to buy at least one bundle as it isn't worth his time to cut one open. He said it's also important to be upfront and firm on pricing. He sets the prices for his hay based on four factors: cut, color, quality, and consistency. He prices his hay by the bale. I try to be fair and consistent with my pricing throughout the year, not just person to person. But he said if you keep your prices consistent throughout the year, people will gravitate towards that. Giving customers an opportunity to try a sample of their hay before buying can be beneficial. I'm not giving nobody a whole round bale of hay, I promise you, on my end, because I'm not doing small squares. But anyway, a bale or a bundle of whatever you give them to try always make them feel good before buying. And I take that back. Last year, or year before last, I did give my old buddy, which I know him, a bale to try out with his sheep. To see if they liked it, just because we didn't know if they were going to eat it. And they were like piranha on it. So I got some of that sold. So I take that back. If a customer finds a bad spot in a bale or if there is a bundle they don't like, he offers a warranty and will give them a full refund or exchange in for the for other hay. Well, that's where me and him different. When they leave my farm, it's theirs. Anyway, because my hay, for the most part, I haven't let anybody down yet on bad hay, so I've had pretty good luck. So anyway, he says try anything from options from newspaper ads. Like here we have the Penny News, it's a good place to sell hay. And then you got the Facebook Marketplace, word of mouth, and local auctions sometimes have hay for sale. I don't know of anybody around here that has that, but I know in Colorado and up in those upper states, they do those auctions on a Saturday, like a farm market. So anyway, but know your customer, and summer is the best time to do that. And while we're talking about hay, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up. So this is just a friendly reminder for you guys, February 14th, and choose wisely what you do with your money on Valentine's Day. And I'm going to give you four options before I go to break. 100 long stem roses ranges from $100 to $150. But a 21 bale bundle of alfalfa could be $150, or one round bale of alfalfa could be anywhere from $80 to $120, or an 800 to 900 pound large square bale could be anywhere from $100 to $150. So if you got $100 or $150 laying around, choose wisely. Do you get the wife some roses, or do you buy some hay for your girlfriends out there in the pasture? So we'll see what's going on out there. And you guys got to be smart. And don't say you heard that on Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, because that's not cool. Anyway, I'm just giving you some piece of advice. Well, when I come back from break, I will have Mr. Court Richards, and he's from Nacogdoches, Texas. And he raises, him and his brother own the Lone Star Bucking Bull Genetics. And I'm excited to talk about him. And he's going to tell us about what bulls he's got in the PBR coming up this weekend. And we're also going to talk to him about his history of how he got started with what genetics he used. Just blah, 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 the whole nine yards. So before I leave you for break, you know what day it is? Also, besides Hay Day Tuesday, it's Stockman's Veterinary Clinic Hat Day. I got their hat because we're streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on KECOFM.com. And you can hear me right here on the radio. But anyway, Stockman's Veterinary Clinic is serving all farmers, ranchers, and pet owners in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. And their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 South Main Street in Elk City. Dr. Taylor Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery, ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine embryo transfer, and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, and pig veterinarian health needs. Stockman's also features a pull-through unloading, a brand new hydraulic tilt chute on the site for cattle, as well as heated indoor OB, a large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. Small animal services include routine checkups, vaccinations, boarding with indoor-outdoor runs, full surgery with gas anesthesia, including C-sections and pet dental need, and an on-site laboratory with digital x-ray. Also scheduling farm calls and providing 24-hour emergency service for all species. And she did. She was busy with me and one of my buddies all day Saturday, and she did a great job. So thank you very much, Dr. Taylor Mouse. But if you need something, call 580-225-0200 or stop by and let Dr. Taylor Mouse and her professional staff provide for you and your animals. They do care, and it shows, and I'll verify they really do care, because they went to a lot of trouble saving my baby calf the other day. So anyway, we'll be right back after this, and I'll have Court Richards on here from Lone Star Bucking Bull Genetics. Be right back.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Mind Money Tracker is a function on our mobile banking app. We started with a template, but it really was in the hands of First National to customize the app to be what it wants to be. As more things come out, as reality changes, as the world changes, the app will constantly be updated with new functionalities so that budgeting can still be made easy and can still be right at your fingertips, because that's our goal at First National, is to give you access to your money at all times.
I'm Kelsey Werner, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City.
Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
All right. Hey, I need a few more texts. I've only got six in so far. So, the question is, one guy texted in on the bull gestation period, and he won because there's no gestation period on a bull. But anyway, gestation period on a horse. How many months, days, whatever? I need a few more texts in here at 580-225-9697, and you will win two tickets to the PBR this weekend, Friday and Saturday. And speaking of the Express Ranches Invitational, I have Mr. Court Richards on the phone with me, and him and his brother own the Lone Star Bucking Bull Genetics. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I got that right. That's a long word. Like I said, when I got you on the phone, you're kind of famous out here because I know some people. I guess you know that my whole listening area and my whole listening area, we're out here in Western Oklahoma in the Texas Panhandle. You know, we got people like Justin McBride, Cody Custer, Sage, and Trey Kimsey. We got Butler Brothers Stock. So, you know, we're not just your average everyday folks on the rodeo circuit.
Oh, no, those are household names. Those are the famous guys.
Oh, yeah. And welcome to the show, and thank you for coming on, taking your time out to come on. And you
no
got,
problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and your operation's in Nacogdoches, Texas, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
That's I've been down there. That's eastern Texas, right? Okay, I'm just thinking out loud, sorry. You'll learn that I'm kind of spazzy sometimes. But anyway, how did you and your brother, how did you guys get started in this?
Man, he was kind of just playing college baseball at the time, and I was a couple years older than him. Still am a couple years older than him, I guess. his college coach there wanted him to go play a little independent ball, up, you know, semi-pro ball up in Fort Worth, and he just randomly came to me one day and asked if I wanted to start raising bucking cows at our family place up in Nacogdoches. And I told him he was crazy and there wasn't a chance we were doing that on my dime. And I don't know, about a week later, I went back to him and said, let's go. So
did you get hit in the head or something, or go get on a 7-day drunk or what?
No, you know, that was about the time the PBR was, like, blowing and going on cable TV. You know, they didn't have all the apps and TV stations and all the different ways to watch TV that they have now. You basically had, you know, your 50 stations on cable, and it was on Versus. And it was on, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we always tuned in, and it just, I don't know. It sounded like a great idea at the time. And to preface that, our grandparents had cattle and stuff, but we weren't, you know, we weren't in a ranching family at all. We were kind of halfway city boys and just enjoyed being at the ranch. And then to go to do that, it kind of was a big learning curve for each of us.
Yeah, I mean, getting into bucking bulls, that's a rodeo in itself. Because I raise cattle, and when I was in junior high, I rode in youth rodeos, and I got hurt one time. I ain't never been back on one again, so it didn't take long for my bull riding career lasted about half a summer, maybe. And so, but then, because you got to be tough, and I'm not saying I'm not tough, but that bull hurt me, but You're talking about you guys got these bucking bulls. Where did you go to do your? How'd you do your research? Where'd you go to do your find out about genetics and what sets you? Because I looked you guys up and you guys are doing really well with your genetics.
Well, you know, we're pretty deeply involved with the ABBI, as a bunch of the guys that raise bulls are, and what the ABBI, which is the American Bucking Bull Incorporated, has allowed us to do is to really study the lineage on these animals. And, you know, our industry is relatively new. When you're speaking of the buck and bull industry and the buck and bull lineage and pedigrees, you compare it to something like the racehorses, which those pedigrees, you look back, and they've been there since the late 1800s, you know, early 1900s. You look at Bodacious, I mean, that bull was, you know, 90, something like that.
Yep.
And that's kind of one of the first bucking bulls in the pedigree. And so when you compare the two industries, it's very young. So being able to do your research to speed up the natural biological selection process, I mean, it really helps out. It really helps out to be able to recognize what females and sires you need to be breeding to you know, the old saying is a bad one eats as much as a good one. So now the papers don't, the pedigrees and the papers, they don't get out and perform in the arena for you, but it gives you a head start into getting that animal that's going to perform in the arena, it is my belief.
Yeah, I did a little research, and you know, Paige down there in Dickerson, Oklahoma, dude, they kind of, yes, they're high-powered, just like you are. I mean, they...
Well, no, we have nothing on them. I mean, they kind of...
I was being nice, sir.
they kind of set the bar for the entire industry, and they've put a lot of years and hard work and time into it. A lot like some of the folks that you mentioned a while ago, you know, the Butler and Son and some of these other folks that have been breeding cattle, Jimmy Crowther, you know, for a long time, and they kind of, so to speak, gave us all the platform and the starting canvas to what our smaller breeding programs are today. You know, they gave us the seed stock to be able to play around and do what we do.
Well, they so do you have any Page genetics in your bull line?
Yes, sir. We try to kind of revolve our stuff around programs like the Page genetics. There's a couple bulls that HD and Dylan and us are partnered on that we've been fortunate enough to buy into to use as breed bulls. And in fact, two of them are bucking Friday night in Oklahoma City, being Liston and Big Wave.
And that's would be the two bulls you got in the PBR there in the city. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. I'm excited to see that because we've been giving Ray PBR tickets for the last 4 or 5 days, and I asked that maybe you can answer this for some of my listeners. Do you know what the gestation table is on a bull?
It's probably got to be about zero, huh?
Unless
they're modernizing themselves like part of our culture is today, or, you know.
But I try to have a little fun on here. Sometimes people take me too serious. But anyway, but there, I was reading some of your stuff, and you're partners with some people in Australia also on some bulls. And one of them is the Big Wave that'll be here in Oklahoma City. He's what? Number 8 or number 7 in the classic standings on the ABBI rating right now?
Yeah, he's up there somewhere. It's still pretty early in the season, so there's a lot to hash out there. But yeah, we've you know, Scott Maines, he's a friend of ours and friend of HD's, and we've been able to do a little bit of business down in Australia, exporting some semen down there and getting those folks down there, you know, some of the genetics that we tried to acquire here, you know, just bringing that down there as well.
Well, I just had a guy text in on the text line. He said, I still have some Bodacious semen. How's that? You want his number?
So. I'm good.
You're good.
So yeah, but you know, we laugh, but you still look back in a lot of those pedigrees, and some of the greats, you know, are go back to Bodacious. Now it might, and the reason I say you know I'm good is because you know, scientifically speaking, theoretically speaking, each generation you get deeper into this, it, you know, your animal should be better. Now, you know, there's no Bodacious dams and sires, I don't think, really hot and heavy right now, but you can look back four or five generations on a lot of these bucking bulls and see Bodacious in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So at your program on your place, are you just like any other normal cattle ranch operation where you've got actual bulls doing the breeding? Do you do a lot of AI and embryos? What all you got going there?
Well, yeah, it's your normal cow-calf, you know, operation in one sense. And then, you know, we do have some AI. And then, but for the most part, we'll take a couple of those great females, like, you know, the Damned Airtime and Sisters Airtime, and some of those females that have shown that they could produce multiple high-caliber athletes, and we do some embryo work with those. You know, you got to kind of pick and choose which females you put in that program, because it can get pricey, and you want to be sure that economically you come out on it. But there's some of that being done, and then we start our young bulls up, you know, and buck them right there, and then try to sell those as yearlings, sell partnership in those as yearlings, and kind of try to keep the better ones around to compete with. I mean, these young bulls can win a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, big time.
I think the top classic bull there in Oklahoma City, he'll win close to $10,000. And the week after that, we bring young bulls to Waco, and I think probably the top bull out of Waco, two-year-old bull bucking with a dummy, will win close to $30,000 or $35,000. So these young bulls are, you know, you want to keep them around, or you want to sell them and see the new owner really succeed
with them. Well, if you guys are just joining me, I have Court Richards. Him and his brother Chase own Lone Star Bucking Bull Genetics in Nacogdoches, Texas, and he's got two bulls that's going to be at the PBR in Oklahoma City this weekend. And before I let you go, before you got to go, I got one more question. I'm an older guy, so all I was used to was junior rodeos and your normal rodeos and all this, and then the PBR come along, I understand that. But while I was researching your genetics, I noticed there's a lot of fraternities that you take those bulls to where there's nothing on them, you know, but a dummy, I guess. And that's crazy. And there looks like there's good money in that for you breeders.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the deal in Waco in 2 weeks, that'll pay out $200,000 to $250,000, I think, purse money.
Right.
Heck, the money in the young bull deals starting to increase and make the value of them really increase along with the amount of purse money they're able to win. You know, the two coincide. It's really getting fascinating.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to start paying it. After I got on your Facebook page, I'm going to start paying a little more attention. And then I have a good friend out here, Scott. I won't say his last name because he didn't give me permission to use his name, but they were into this really hot and heavy up until a few years ago, and he's backed off. But he started rattling stuff off at me. He said, "This is what you need to ask him. This is what you need to ask him." I was like, "What the hell are you talking about?" And so
it kind of gets pretty specialty niche for the outsider looking in, but once they start paying attention to it, it's fascinating for sure, being able to see those animals do the things that they do, and it gets very addicting.
Oh yeah, I can see that. Well, You don't know how much I appreciate you coming on the show today, and I got your number and I saved it. If that's okay with you, here some later on this year, and when the circuit gets more hot and heavy starting out this new year, I'm going to give you another shout and see if you'll come back on, and let's see how things are going.
For sure. You know, we'd love to, and get your listeners to go to the PBR this weekend. That's kind of what made the bull deal what everybody was interested in is the PBR.
I appreciate it. And you don't have to beg these people out here to go to that PBR, I promise you. And not with the kids that we've got and had, you know, Justin McBride and Trey and Cody and all those guys. And there's some kids from out here getting after it right now. But, man, it is, you know, everybody gets fired up. You know, they love rodeo out here. You know, we got Benny and Red out here north of town. So we got that Butler Museum right here across the road from our office. So we're into it out here. Don't worry.
Well, good deal. I appreciate you for having me.
All right. Thank you again, sir. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
Bye. Well, that was Court Richards with the Lone Star Bucking Bull Genetics. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Well, when I come back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, and I will announce the winner. I will announce one of them that's not going to win right now because that'd be cheating. I should have had some more specific rules up front. No veterinarians are allowed to enter the contest. So, Dr. Mouse, I'm sorry. I've got to disqualify you from the PBR tickets on my show. You can call later on during Drew's show, but on my show, you're out. So, anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. 60 degrees, southwest, winds 12 miles an hour, 17 mile an hour gust. Winds getting up a little bit. Today, sunny, 66 for a high. Tonight, 31. Tomorrow, 64. Thursday, 59. Friday, 67. Saturday, it cools off just a little bit at 50 degrees for a high with north winds, 18 to 20 miles an hour. So that don't sound too bueno for Saturday. But there's rumors on social media and with some of the news weather, the weather news stations, of next week a storm coming in with could be either heavy rain and thunderstorms and the whole nine yards, and so and or it could be a major winter storm. Well, I have a winner. Are you guys ready? Joey Porter, you have won. You only text in 20 times. I only needed one of yours. So anyway, you answered the correct answer is 11 to 12 months, and you answered it, and you were my seventh text in. So anyway, I appreciate it. I will have these tickets up front for you with the your name on them, so you can come by any time today after lunch and pick them up between now and next Friday, because it's next Friday night your tickets are good for. So congratulations and thank you, and even including thank you, Dr. Taylor Mouse, for participating in, even though I had to disqualify you, and I apologize for that. And I hope you don't bill me too much on the next deal that I got for you. But anyway, so we got that going on. I appreciate it. Well, I have a deal. You guys remember the week before last I talked about dewormer? Oh, I'm going to talk about it again. Single drug or combination therapy. Many cattle producers face this when deworming their herds. What do they need to do? For some, the approach boils down to economics, timing, and ease of delivery. However, concerns within the industry are mounting over parasite resistance. And that's what I talked about there the week before last about you can do your cattle need worm, all of them. Well, triggering a need to understand the role each type of dewormer plays in a cattle operation. Deworming cattle is a part of many herd health programs on U.S. farms. Mr. Dan Cummings, a veterinarian from out in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, travels throughout most of the United States, from Missouri to West Virginia, down south, advising cattle producers on how to best use deworming protocols. He finds that there's no single approach that works best on all farms. There is a place for each type of dewormer, along with pasture management that will keep medications sustainable for the future of the beef industry. When to use the individual dewormer. Treating an animal with one active drug from one drug class is known by veterinarians as monotherapy, and Cummings says it's still widely accepted and a common practice in the cattle industry. It's still highly effective, he says, of the single dose drug protocols, because we got an excellent suite of efficacious drugs. There are a few instances where a single agent drug or monotherapy works best in cattle operations. Mature cows. Cummins says that the situation usually comes when cattle are moving off summer pasture into the fall. Cattle producers want to administer one broad-spectrum dewormer or a topical to rid the animal of both external and internal parasites. This is still highly effective and beneficial to the cow going into a winter nutrition program. Weaning age calf. In this case, cattle producers can find effective treatment while pushing several young calves through the chute. Here, a single extended-release injectable dewormer can be effective. While age is a factor in a parasite control program, Cummings says it is important for cattle producers to know just how severe the internal parasite infection is on the farm. Too often, farmers are treating worms based on sight, particularly as they view the hair coat condition and overall animal appearance. Cummins says cattle producers need to realize that there are other causes for those long, scraggly-looking hair coats, or where they rub them off, there's no hair. The only way to truly know whether it's parasites or whether the program's effective, whether it's one agent or two, is to have an established baseline for your herd. Knowing your herd's worm load to find the right treatment starts with fecal samples. So get your scoop, go out there and scoop you up some poop and put it in a bag and take it to see the good doctors. This gives us the eggs per gram. And then when we have a baseline to make the best parasite control recommendations. He's often asked the economic threshold of worms in a herd, but unfortunately there's too much variation from one herd to the next. That is why we need a baseline for that individual farm. For example, if your poop sample shows 100 eggs per gram in the stool sample, then that's a starting point. The animal is treated that very day according to the labeled dose. Then the animal is to run back through the chute in 14 to 17 days, depending on the product, and the farmer or veterinarian draws another sample. I want to see greater than 90% reduction in that egg count from the first to the second sample. So if it's 100 today, I want it to be 10 or less in 2 weeks. This is when we know the dewormer program is working. This is called the fecal egg count reduction test, or FERCRT. He says, at the same time farmers and veterinarians collect fecal samples, they should be writing down weights to make sure the animal is receiving the correct dose. Often, cattle producers tend to underestimate weight, which reduces the dewormer's effectiveness. We have to be given the right dose per label according to the weight of the animal. All worms and cattle are not the same. This is a common roundworm or brown stomach worm known. I'm not even going to start with that. I wish Dr. Mouse was here. Anyway, they are small intestinal worms and tapeworms, to name a few. From a U.S. manufacturing standpoint, there are two common drug classes approved for cattle. The white dewormers, which are the oral ones, which also includes ivermectins. The white dewormers are administered orally and act as a purge dewormer to internal parasites. These dewormers interfere with the parasites, which depletes the energy supply and eventually causes death of the dewormers. So anyway, but there's also biosecurity measures, and I hit on this a few weeks ago when I talked about this. If you're getting new cattle on your place, you should consider treating them, whether they need it or not, before coming onto your farm. And if you can, quarantine the group away from your other cattle 14 to 21 days, because if you wormed them, let the parasites get killed, die off. And he recommends a combination treatment, noting that he has observed very high efficiency with it. However, cattle producers need to consider keeping a percentage of the herds selectively not dewormed, known in this, leaving a portion of the parasite population in the refuge for dewormers reduces the selection pressure and maintains a population of parasites. Cattle producers also don't want to use combination treatment in an environment. The simplest way is not to worry about the issue, to leave a group of animals selectively untreated every time you deworm. So there you have it. I got that all ready for you. And there was a deal in from one of our text lines. He said he's asked the Lord to let it rain, and man, I hope we get it next week. I don't care if it's in snow, as long as it ain't a dry snow like this last one, or rain. Just please just let it rain, and we had a great day. But my time's about up, and I hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Court Richards today. He's with Lone Star Bucking Bull Genetics, and I will repeat those bulls that he's going to have over there. It looks like Big Wave and Fast Flow. So be looking for his bulls this weekend at the PBR, and thank you again for everybody that participated in that little contest. Thank you, Brian Silk. You got the day's ride on the bull gestation period. I always knew you was a highly intelligent, smart man. And that's for being out there crappie fishing and sending me pictures of crappie you're catching on the show. So you guys have a good day. God bless. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.